Good morning again, or good morning for the first time. If you've just tuned in, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes, we will have Garda Grainne Doherty in with Community Garda information. So you can listen to that on the radio if it suits you. If you're at home, you can watch it and the rest of the show as well on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, on your TV or your Fire Stick. On to some responses from you, the listeners, in relation to our conversation just before 10 with Kathleen and other matters as well. Kathleen is completely right. It's the person who owns the dog and how they teach it. A dog needs training. They need guidance. I've had big dogs as well, by the way. They were around the house. I never had them out in public. But if you are walking in a park, and I've spoken to people that if it's a Rottweiler or an Alsatian, even if it's on a lead, not often muzzled, if the truth be told, some would say, that the person who does not own the dog can feel far more intimidated than if it were a cockapoo or something like that there. Is that part of the conversation that needs to be had as well, or is that that's tough luck? That woman is wrong. All animals change as the environment changes. Indeed, a dog warden was on the radio there, and I mentioned it last week, saying that even dogs that have been never misbehaved at all in their lives, that if for some reason or other they mistake their owner, they have been known to turn on their owner as well. But I'm not sure how training a dog and can impact that. But that was the dog warden with 40 years experience. There has to be better regulation on dog breeding in Ireland. Temperament and early development is not considered by puppy farms or backyard breeders. This needs to be addressed before a ban is considered. That comes from Andy of Venture Dog Training in Ballymofay. Thanks very much, Andy. And maybe we might get a chat, actually, and get your perspective into the future. Kathleen is 100% right. It's about respect for the animals and respect for the people who fear dogs. Another, I think people approaching private property when there's dogs at large without the owner's permission are looking for trouble. Why continue to approach the dog on private property when it's barking at you? There are dogs, though, if you're out for a walk in the countryside, that are on private property, and they clearly have these collars that restrict their movement, and they stand at the fence or they stand at the gate barking violently at you. Is that all right too? I mean, obviously they can't get at you, but I know of a couple of cases where they are quite big dogs and people choose not to use that route any longer. Greg, I don't agree with Kathleen about ban, but at the same time, I agree with what she says about owners. I saw a wee boy who looked about 10 on Saturday walking a large German Shepherd dog. Well, the dog was literally dragging him along. What chance had that child of holding that dog if he decided to chase? What responsible owner let that child out with that dog? Well, where's the enforcement there as well? Because clearly, I think a strong argument could be made that that 10-year-old does not have effectual control of that dog, and the dog warden should be involved. But that was the weekend, so we have a problem there. My neighbour has a Great Dane. It's a fabulous dog, but it spends 23 and a half hours a day in an 8-foot square compound. It's so inappropriate. That's no life for a dog, is it? If you have a dog, more checks need done on where it lives. You cannot take a child into your home without several welfare checks being done. Why is it not the same for a dog? Well, dogs and children are very different, but I take your point. I'm watching a young boy being dragged here by a dog on a lead that's the size of a small pony. If the dog was to pull away, the young boy would have no control over him. That's a couple along the same lines. Another, it's all well and good bringing in laws, but we've got nobody here to implement the laws. We need Gardaí and dog wardens. Yeah, there's an argument there too. By the way, just an update on the situation yesterday. Gardaí got a court order, and the dog that was involved in that alleged attack has been lifted and remains in the pound at the moment. I presume it's future to be determined. Okay, before we take a break and welcome Garda Grainne into studio, just to let you know that Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdarg Garden Centre is going to be joining us later on in the show to take your gardening questions. So hopefully now we can, you know, kick on to a bit of a summer. It hasn't felt much like summer, has it? The rain's just not quite as cold as in the winter. But anyway, any questions from Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdarg Garden Centre? Get them into us right now. 086 60 25,000. It could be fruit trees, bushes, hedges, lawns, inside planting, window pots, whatever it might be. Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdarg Garden Centre will be answering your questions later. So get them into us as soon as you can. To 086 60 25,000, or give Caroline or Shannon a ring on 07491 25,000. And the email's there for you as well. comments at highlandradio.com. Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show on this Tuesday. It is the 18th of June, and it's time for Community Garda information. And in studio with me today is Garda Grainne Doherty, up from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne. Thanks for your time today, as always.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to have you in. Right, so let's start with appeals. We've lots to get through today. And a reissuing of an appeal for, or renewing of an appeal for, missing Stephen Boyle.
Yeah, Gardaí and Buncrana are renewing their appeal to the public for assistance in locating 15-year-old Stephen Boyle. He went missing on Saturday the 25th of May in Maharabeg, Burnfoot. Stephen is described as being 5'7" tall. He is a medium build, brown hair and blue eyes. It's understood that he was wearing a black Nike hoodie and grey trousers at the time he went missing. Gardaí do believe that Stephen may have travelled to County Kildare, so this is a possibility. Anybody with any information on Stephen's current whereabouts are urged to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 932 0540. The Garda Confidential line either can be reached on 1800 666 111 or any Garda Station. I believe you have a picture of Stephen there on your own social media. Yeah, if people want to refer to that.
Indeed, and if you could share it too, because as Grainne said, I mean, previously there was some suggestion he might have been across the border. Now he may be down in Kildare. So in other words, the further this appeal can reach, the better.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Everything's a help.
Right, a burglary being investigated in Carrigart.
Yes, so this burglary happened at the old rectory. So the people in that local area would probably be familiar with this building. It's a vacant building. It's in Carrigart. This burglary happened between Wednesday the 5th of June and Wednesday the 12th of June. So a window on that window was smashed. Entry then is believed to have been gained through another window that had been boarded up. Graffiti was sprayed, quite a substantial amount of graffiti was sprayed inside this building, but nothing was stolen from it. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity around the rectory or any activity, if it's a vacant building, and it has been vacant for quite some time, so it would have been quite odd to see anybody really in and around the grounds of it. So if anybody can assist with any information in relation to this, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060, and again the Garda Confidential line, as with all of our appeals.
A burglary in Meadowbank now in Letterkenny.
Yes, this burglary happened at another vacant property in Meadowbank Park, Letterkenny, on Friday the 14th of June between approximately 4 p.m. and 4:20 p.m. A man is believed to have entered the property. He stole copper and a gas cylinder from within. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area around the time with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. We're particularly interested in any sightings or dash cam footage of a black Passat that is believed to have been in the area around that time. Gardaí may be contacted in Letterkenny on 9167 100 with any information.
I don't know the nature of this incident or the motivation for it, but I presume, you know, with a bit of building going on and what have you, copper still remains very expensive and an attractive item. We did see a spike in this a number of years, and it comes in waves. I suppose even if a house is empty, you have to make sure it's perfectly secure. Not referencing this incident, of course, but just a general piece of advice.
Yeah, of course, if anybody has a vacant property and has cylinder, you know, gas cylinders or cylinders, sorry, and copper or amounts of steel or copper, they, as you said, there was a time when we were doing a lot of appeals in relation to building houses that were under construction, and this type of material was being stolen from them. So just in case that this is on the up again, we ask people with vacant properties to check their property regularly.
All right, we're going to Killybegs-ish now.
Yes, so this it's a criminal damage incident. So this happened to a car. It occurred at Mean Gilcarry, Killybegs. So that Mean Gilcarry is a townland that's between Killybegs and Ardra. This happened on Monday the 17th of June between 1:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. A car was parked up at the owner's home. It was smashed up first and then set alight between those times. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area with a dash cam at any stage between those times, so between 1:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. on 17th of June, to make contact with Gardaí. And if anybody has any relevant information that they can offer in relation to this incident, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Now, there was an incident of criminal damage in Buncrana.
Yeah, this incident also occurred in the early hours of a morning. It happened at Main Street, Buncrana, on Thursday the 13th of June between approximately 1:30 a.m. and 1:40 a.m. So a man is believed to have punched a wing mirror of a car at that location, and the glass smashed. So we're asking anybody, possibly even taxi drivers, I suppose at that time of the morning traffic, there mightn't have been too much traffic about, but hopefully we might get somebody who had a dash cam that was in that area that might make that footage available to us. If anybody witnessed the incident also, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540.
All right, let's get some questions that have come in. I've told the Gardaí about cattle on my ground. They say it's a civil matter and that they can't get involved. Is it my land? It is my land, sorry. They won't get involved, so how do I sort this?
Yeah, well, I do advise this caller to get in touch with the Department of Agriculture there in Raphoe. This matter should be reported to them. If the caller doesn't know who the cattle belong to, well, the best thing to do is to check maybe even one of the tag numbers of one of the cattle, and perhaps this person isn't familiar with farm animals, or maybe they're, you know, too wary to approach the animals. I'm sure they'd have a neighbour, a farmer or somebody who would assist, or even the Department of Agriculture themselves might assist and send somebody out to check who does own the cattle. If they are aware of who the owner is, which is also a possibility, this information should also be passed to the department, but certainly the Department of Agriculture should be their port of call there.
And if, and I know this person is directly affected by it, but if you sort of take a step back and think as to why this is not a criminal matter, it is quite clear that the Gardaí can't, with everything else they have to be doing, sort of policing people's private lands and other people's, you know, private property on that land and what have you. It is a complex one. Second question here. My daughter-in-law had her car in a car park and it was damaged. Now, Gardaí went and got the CCTV and they found the person who did the damage, but they haven't done anything about it. They're saying that the guard in charge has left the station and that's why there's nothing being done about it. This was a number of years ago, but why aren't the Gardaí doing anything about it?
Well, look, as with any incident, I can't really comment on this particular incident as I'm not in possession of the full details of it. But I do know that if a guard is transferred from a station, the investigations, all of their investigations are always passed on to another guard. I mean, their investigations just don't stop because they've been transferred. So their investigations are always referred on to another guard in that station, you know, to further investigate the matters. So I would ask this caller if they want to contact me in the Letterkenny station on 9167 100 and I look into the matter for them.
Which is a fantastic commitment on your behalf. Thanks very much for that, Grania. The Garda Reserve recruitment campaign is up and running.
It is. And listen, I don't want to go on too long. I know we mentioned this
last
week.
There's a lot of pages
also
here.
No, there's only a short bit here about the reserve.
I'm joking.
The Garda
Reserve,
yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, no, in Garda Shea Connor, we're inviting applications from those aged 18 to 60 to be a Garda Reserve. I know you were invited last week. But your name, was it yourself?
No, it was Donal.
It was Donal. Well, now we'll extend an invitation to you too if you have a bit
I'm
of free time that you can. I know you have a few years left yet. It's up to age 60. So the Garda Reserve, it's often a stepping stone. And sometimes we do find that is the reason why a lot of people become a Garda Reserve is that maybe they have an interest in joining the Guards full time and they just want to kind of test the waters and see
and
what it entails.
I think with the expansion of the ages as well, it catches in another group of people that maybe have an itch to scratch, try the reserves and then go on to it if you're within the age. Obviously, it's a younger age, isn't it, for the Garda than it is the reserves. But still,
50,
the extension of the age has brought a lot of people into it that thought the time had passed for them.
They did, of course, yeah. So yeah, they did. They extended the age to join the Guards itself to 50. So for those people, even the likes of this would be ideal. You know, if they're unsure, maybe there are people pondering whether they want to put their name in to become a Guard full-time. This would be a stepping stone, or it would be a taster for them just to see what it entails. So since our last campaign in 2017, over 80 Garda Reserves have gone on to train
That's
as full-time Gardaí. And of course, look, there's no obligation on you to go on and become a full-time Garda member either. You know, there's plenty of people.
It's a stepping stone, as you mentioned, potentially.
It is, yeah. Well, if somebody wants to become a full-time Garda, yeah, but sometimes people just are quite happy staying as a Garda Reserve, you know.
And do we use Garda Reserves much in this county?
We do, yeah. We have a few very good people there that come in very regularly to help out at any big events. And the Donegal Rally now, this coming weekend.
Which we're going to talk about in a sec.
We will. So we'll have a lot of our own Garda Reserves and also Garda Reserves from other divisions coming to help out at the Donegal Rally this weekend.
So it bolsters the numbers.
It does, of course, yeah.
Frees up other Gardaí to do other work as well.
Yeah.
Time is closing. You have until 3 p.m. on July 4th if you want to apply for Garda Reserves. And publicjobs.ie is the place to go. And also, you've info on the Facebook page.
We do our own Garda Shea Connor Donegal Facebook page. If anybody wants to go in there and find out further information, because I left it very brief today. But yeah, the closing date to apply is 4th of July at 3 p.m. publicjobs.ie, that's where you apply. But further information can be viewed on our Facebook page.
Okay, now it is a huge weekend. One of the biggest sporting weekends in our calendar up here. One of the biggest weekends in terms of, I suppose, the Garda operation. So, talk to us about what's happening for the weekend from a Garda perspective.
I know it's hard to believe that it's that time again.
It's crazy.
It's hard to believe. My hips and my knees still haven't recovered from last year.
Well, your hips don't lie.
No, but we're busy making preparations for the Donegal International Rally. It's going to take place this coming weekend. Gardaí will be out in force this rally weekend. And as always, they will be applying a zero tolerance approach in relation to dangerous driving, drink and drug driving, and bad driver behaviour in general. A high-speed sport such as the rally takes place in a controlled environment with the necessary protections in place, and this is important for people to remember. Every year, a small minority, and I have to stress that it is a very small minority, and they appear they've no interest in the actual rally. They rock up to Letterkenny for the weekend or to surrounding towns, and they drive in a dangerous manner. They put all other road users at risk.
And they never see a stage of the rally often.
They don't. A lot of them don't go near the rally. They don't. But they come up, I suppose, for the crack and for the atmosphere of the weekend. And that's fine. And we welcome them to do that. But it's just, again, a small minority put their own lives at risk on the roads. They put other road users at risk on the roads. So we're just appealing to these people. If they value their licence, and I know a lot of them highly value their licence, they take great care of their cars and driving is their life, a lot of them. So if they value their licence, they need to leave the rally driving to the rally competitors. They will be stopped, they will be prosecuted, cars will be seized over rally weekend as they are every year. So disruptive or antisocial behaviour, besides the roads aspect, you know, public order, drinking in the streets, fighting, antisocial behaviour of any sort won't be tolerated. And it's highly unfair to the people in the local communities here around Letterkenny and also the surrounding towns. They shouldn't have to endure unnecessary disruption or any sort of misery as a result of these few people who are intent on causing misery. We're appealing to parents to ensure a lot of the people now coming to the rally, especially those who don't actually go to the rally stages but come for the crack for the weekend. They're young people, they're young teenagers, young, you know, in their early 20s. We're appealing to parents. Please chat to your young people. Ensure that they have sufficient driving experience before they take to the roads this weekend. Please make sure their car is in a roadworthy condition. Speak to them ahead of the rally. Speak to them about road safety. We're constantly talking about road safety and we can't stress the importance of it enough. But look, we were all young once and you can't put an old head on young shoulders. And sometimes young people are easily influenced and they're highly impressionable.
You get caught up in it and you're trying to impress people.
And they're trying to show off to their friends. You know, and that's what happens. We understand that. And it causes, I suppose, a lot of parents worry too when their young people set off for rally weekend. But just please have an honest chat with them beforehand and explain your anxieties and your worries to them. Explain to them that you want them home in one piece. If we want to speak to people too about the dangers of not wearing a seatbelt, speed checks will be conducted over the course of the rally weekend. We will be checking that everybody's wearing their seatbelt. Driving under the influence, there will be MIT checkpoints. They'll be testing for drugs in the system, alcohol in the system. Driving dangerously or getting in the car with someone who is under the influence, that's an important one also. Please speak to your young people. If they're coming to the rally and they're not a driver themselves, speak to them about the danger of getting into a car. One of your mates, if they're driving dangerously, if they're diffing at crossroads or donutting or whatever they're doing, if they're you know they've taken drugs, if you know that they have alcohol in their system, please speak to your young people. Tell them not to get into that car. And if they feel afraid, if they're in a car and they feel the driver's driving dangerously and they feel at risk, just tell them to get out. Stress the importance to them of getting out.
Don't overload cars either.
Don't overload cars either, no. Look, we're hoping there's going to be a guard at everywhere they turn this weekend. We have extra numbers coming up from down the country, Garda reserves and Garda members. So hopefully there will be yellow jackets highly visible. There will be checkpoints visible and speed checks visible. And we're hoping that everybody enjoys the rally weekend. I know I'm doing a lot of giving out here, so I'll say something
nice.
Well,
it's not really. I think it's fair because you said right from the get-go, Grania, this is a very small minority.
It is, yeah.
No one spoils sports or what have you. But, you know, the disruption that can be caused by this small group of people who are gone, done and dusted off and down the country again later on, you know, it has to be highlighted as well out of respect for the everyday inhabitants as well. And also, really, what this comes down to is that we're not dealing with a serious injury or fatality or something along those lines. This is about preventing a family having to get that knock at the door.
Of course.
Do you know
that's
what I mean? That's
that,
what it really all boils down yeah. to, you know. And yeah. we don't want anyone to have that. And really, too, as well, young people to really conscious, like, you know, you certainly never, ever drink and drive. Drugs are illegal. A lot of people take drugs. They behave in your system and stay in your system different to alcohol. Mm-hmm. So as I'm not talking about it or justifying it or anything, but there's going to be an awful lot of checkpoints around today. You might think it was 2 days ago or 3 days ago. You could lose your license big time. The exact same as if you were drink driving almost, if you know what I mean. I'm not. That's not a Garda message, by the way. I'm just saying that.
No, exactly.
But unless just it behaves in your body, your system differently. Don't sacrifice your license. Preferably don't take drugs.
Exactly, yeah. Well, look, and we're not total killjoys. We want people to enjoy Donegal. Donegal has a lot to offer, so we want people to enjoy their stay in Donegal when they're here. We hope they have a safe stay. We hope that they have a very memorable trip. And as you say, nobody wants to get that knock at the door, and that's what we want to prevent. We don't want any serious injury collisions on the road or any fatalities on the road this weekend. And the rally brings so many positives to the county. And as you said, we do want to emphasise again, it is only a very, very small minority who attend every year, who end up getting in bother. And we will this year, no more than any other year, we will have that minority again who will end up in the Garda station. Unfortunately, because of their poor behaviour on and off the roads over the course of the weekend.
Now, people will say, well, I spotted this or heard that, or people are doing this in my area and there's dangerous driving ongoing. Or if people want to contact Gardaí in anything, in relation to anything over the rally weekend, those calls are welcome.
Of course, yeah. So, look, I'll give out the numbers just as usual for our 24/7 Garda stations in Donegal. Letterkenny is 9167100. Ballyshannon 071-985-8530, Milford 915-3060, yeah, and Buncrana 932-0540. Please don't hesitate to call us if you need our assistance at any stage over the weekend. And as always, if it's an emergency, contact 999 or 112. And we hope that everybody has a lovely weekend. As I said, we're not killjoys. We're not there to spoil anybody's
fun.
Most
young people are fantastic.
And
their cars
of course,
look
yeah.
brilliant. And they look after them and they spit and polish them and they look absolutely amazing. It's just the minority. Is there going to be the capacity to bring people before courts in a special circumstance?
Well, of course. That's yeah. the same every
is,
rally weekend. Yeah, there's always special sittings of courts. Yeah. And we'll be there in a community engagement capacity also. I mean, we're not there to hammer the law all the time. There will be the roads policing units out. There will be the checkpoints, the speed checks. But we're there too. And the guards out on the beat. We're there to engage with people, to have a bit of fun, have a bit of chat with them. And we would encourage people also, if they see us in the street, you know, we're not the enemy. Mm. Come over and chat to us. And
really?
Well,
Eunan Walsh, have you ever seen him? Would you go over and say hello to him?
Well,
actually, he's always, in fairness to Eunan and the rest of the team,
yeah,
they always do have a smile on the face. I know what you're saying, engage with them, don't see them as the enemy.
Yeah, and just if you see us in the beat and you have any issues or questions, please do come up. Look, we enjoy the crack and we want to have a chat with people. And there'll be plenty of guards out on the beat, round the town, out round the environs of Letterkenny. And don't feel afraid of us, you know, come over and chat to us because we want to engage and have the crack also.
So, excellent. Last Tuesday, I'm off. I don't take many Tuesdays off. And listening to the radio, and Donal's, and we're joined into you now by Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson. Every Tuesday I'm off,
she plans it well.
How is that? Did Caroline say to you, Greg's off, by the way, you can get her down from Buncrana?
Yeah, and it wasn't a bank holiday either, because usually if it's a bank holiday, you can nearly time it, but you took a random Tuesday off,
know,
so she did well
yeah,
that day.
Exactly, I'm starting to feel paranoid now. right, okay, brilliant stuff. And just to let people know that there's tons of information and updates on the Garda Síochána O'Connor Facebook page. It's not there to report serious instances or anything like that there. That's 999 if you need Gardaí. If you need Gardaí in an emergency situation.
Yes, yeah.
But it is a fantastic resource to get information or even direct young people to it to reiterate some of what we've been talking. There's lots of information there and details on that missing persons and also the Garda Reserve and other things like that there. So Donegal, Garda Síochána Donegal. Thanks very much, Grainne,
Thanks,
always.
Greg.
Really do appreciate it. That will be up for you to rewatch or listen back to on our socials and on Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on. And it'll be back with you live next Tuesday. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can all have fun, bring lots of money into the county and lots of fun. And hopefully this time next week, we're able to reflect on a hugely fun and entertaining and safe rally weekend. Isn't that what we want, Grania? Yeah. That's all people want. All right, back shortly. Now, going to stay with the road safety theme that we finished off Community Garda information with. We're going to talk now to David Martin, who's Communications Manager with the Road Safety Authority. David, thanks for your time today.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Quite taken aback that we are going backwards in, you know, one of the fundamentals of road safety, and that's the wearing or non-wearing of seat belts. And unfortunately, we are regressing, it seems.
We are indeed, and I'm as surprised as you are on that. We conducted a major survey back end of last year, around September and October of last year, what we call an observational study. And we set up, you know, sites across the country, 157 sites across the 26 counties in the Republic of Ireland. And we looked at whether people and the passengers or whether the drivers are wearing their seatbelts or not. This is something, a study that we've done every year since 2006. And look, what we've seen in particularly in recent years is historically, you know, we're up at around touching on 100%. But in 2023, we saw the numbers drop quite alarmingly. And so front seat passengers had dropped down from 99% to 94%, and drivers were down from 4% to 95%. So that, you know, that means 1 in 20 drivers are not wearing the seatbelt, and it's a similar kind of figure for front seat passengers
as well. And it's kind of even more worrying on our rural roads.
Indeed, you know, there's the adherence to wearing seatbelts is actually poorer on the rural roads, and it's a major, major problem. What we have found is over the in between 2019 and 2023, you know, we saw that, you know, a lot of 22% of people who are killed on the roads had not been wearing a seatbelt. So that's disproportionately high. If you think that only 5%, you know, if 95, 96, 97% of people are wearing them, you see it's the people not wearing them who are getting killed on the roads. And you know, and we know that this is more prevalent on
just to be really clear with that, because it's quite an interesting point you made in relation to the percentages. What that effectively means, and you said it quite clearly yourself, but just to reiterate the importance of this, in fatal road traffic collisions in the period you mentioned, 22% were not wearing seatbelts. So that means those not wearing a seatbelt are way, 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 way overrepresented in the total amount of people that have died on our roads. So in other words, what we have is somewhere between 1 and 4% of people in cars, equating to 1 in 5 deaths. I mean, that's
exactly. So you're just disproportionately, you know, more likely to be killed or seriously injured if you're not wearing a seatbelt. And it is such a no-brainer. You know, I'm around long enough to remember the 80s when people wouldn't have seatbelts in the back seats or whatever. But it became almost a universal thing that people would put on their seatbelts. They just did it without thinking. And that's been very much the case up till last year, to be honest. And we've seen a regression back to numbers that the numbers are back to where we were in 2016 and 2018.
So I think what a great driver, David, for the wearing of seatbelts was education in school, and children coming out of the school and getting into the car and putting their seatbelt on and say, "Mommy, Daddy, it's really important that you put your seatbelt on." We were told that in school today. You could never factor precisely the impact of that. But I think that's really important. You know, if we're looking at where the gaps are, I think definitely in schools and sort of get the younger ones to put the pressure on mums and dads.
Absolutely.
And the drivers would be really
absolutely
useful.
And I've got kids of my own, and they're teenagers now. But you know, I know that they kept an eye on me, particularly my daughter, you know, which is great, you know, and they've been, you know, indoctrinated in a good way towards safe driving and safe road use. I think one thing it's worth noting as well is that the declining use of seatbelts is also coincides with other dangerous behaviours that we've seen probably since COVID. So we've seen an alarming increase in speeding and drink and drug driving and distracted driving, you know, people using their mobile phones. So there's a problem on the road there that I think everybody acknowledges at the moment. And that's reflected in the number of fatalities that we're seeing on the road. The numbers, again, are up this year compared to last year, which again itself was a bad year. So there have been 86 people killed on the road this year 8 more than the corresponding period last year. So we do have a problem.
Yeah. And the unreported figure often as well is, and there is a ratio, and I can't recall off the top of my head what it is, but those that suffer very serious injury, life-changing injuries, they end up with limps, bad backs, broken backs,
yes,
losing limbs, losing eyes, getting hit on the head to the point whereby it changes their mood, or how they function. You know, obviously the headline figure is and always will be the fatalities, but it doesn't at all paint the picture of the lives that are changed.
No, it doesn't.
Collisions and crashes.
You're right. There is a rule of thumb as well that for every fatality, there's 10 serious injuries.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're absolutely on the button there.
That's almost 1,000 people, effectively, that have been very seriously injured, to use that ratio.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a killer behaviour not wearing your seatbelt. It's also a selfish behaviour because, you know, if you don't put them on, you're going to affect other people in the vehicle as well. As an unbelted person, you can seriously injure others in the collision. So, you know, it's not just yourself that you're going to cause damage to. You're going to cause damage to your fellow passengers and your friends.
But David, obviously, in this day and age, the majority of vehicles now will have some sort of a warning bell, certainly in the front seats, if not in the rear seats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this data won't sort of tell us the demographics, or are people actively circumventing? Are they pulling over the passenger seatbelt and plugging it into the driver's side? Are they just getting the little, you know, from a scrapyard? Are they going and just getting the little plugs that plug into the seatbelt holder?
Yeah, speculate. As I said, we observed 24,000. This is based on 24,000 observations across the country. We don't know the rationale for not wearing them. You're right, the more modern cars, and I know mine, which isn't a particularly modern car, will send out an alarm if you're not wearing it. So, you know, hopefully you'll see that, you know, that will become universal, and that, you know, it is very, very irritating. So it will encourage people to put their seatbelts on.
Okay. Again, it's not Big Brother, or it's not an overreach by the state. This is literally about saving lives and serious injury. And we know, just to recap, over 1 in 5 people who've been killed on our roads were not wearing a seatbelt, which is a percentage of those in vehicles of anywhere between 1 and 4 and 5%. Completely
correct.
A massive overrepresentation there. David, thanks for helping us get hopefully drive that home, pun intended. David Martin, Communications Manager with the Road Safety Authority. I don't understand why people don't wear seatbelts. I'm not a goody two-shoes, by the way. I hope I don't come across as that, especially with the last two items. But it's just, I just really want to avoid any families being ripped apart or losing loved ones. Unfortunately, crashes and collisions do happen. They will happen. We never know. Often we get dragged into it. It's somebody else maybe that's made the mistake. But you need your seatbelt on to give you the best chance of avoiding that serious injury and certainly death as well. Okay, just to let you know that, Paul McLaughlin, Balloch-Dhir Garden Centre, is coming up after 11 answering your gardening questions. Charlie McGinley, a regular watcher, he's normally watching us in Scotland. He's back in Donegal for a few weeks. Could you please put the big golden ball in the sky? I'm going to throw it up there for you a little bit this afternoon, much more tomorrow, and we'll see what I can do for you for Sunday. I think Sunday I might be able to do something for you Sunday, Charlie. And in between now and then, you'll see very little rain, so stop your moaning. Okay. Question for Joe McHugh. Can anything be done for teaching principals of schools to reduce the amount of administration? There is the same expectation on principals regardless of the amount of students in the school. Interesting comment there. And if there is a principal that wants to talk a little bit more about that, please, yes, get in touch. Hi, Greg. Yet another attack by a potential killer dog on our own peninsula. Approximately 2 weeks ago, since a young woman was savaged to death in Limerick, followed by on Garda killing two dogs in an attack in Cork. Had the victim in Muff been a child, we could be facing yet another fatality, but all is not lost. Minister Humphreys is still sitting on her hands waiting on that report. Well, let's stay with that and go to Councillor Paul Canning, who was listening to our conversation about dogs. Hi, Paul. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're coming through loud and clear, Paul. So you were listening to the conversation about dogs. What's your input?
Yeah, well, my situation is somewhat different to a lot of people because a lot of people are aware that I have a daughter that suffers with OA, which is brittle bone disease, you know. And the problem we have is myself and Stephanie and Vanessa, if we even head to a park or a beach and there's dogs running about at all, we don't even get out of the car, because if a dog jumps up on top of her, knocks her over, it's a leg break or an arm break or, you know, and the dog's not supposed to know the situation with her. But that's our personal situation, you know, and it's at times there, even in a shop or whatever, if she was going to the shop, she drives now, and if she was going to the shop herself and she pulled in fairly close to the shop and there was a dog running about, she would actually phone me to say, "Daddy, there's a dog here, what do I do?" You know, and you take these things for granted at times, but when people have that type of disability, it's not easy at times, you know, and especially then it makes it more difficult. And listen, I have no problem with dogs, you know, but that's her situation, that's a personal situation with her, you know.
Yeah, and how often might you go to the beach and there are dogs running around off leads? Is that more often than not, or?
It is, yeah. We just, you know, if we just don't bother anymore because we know that there is going to be dogs running about. Like, unless the dog is only jumping up for the purpose of being friendly, but the dog doesn't know. And it's a wee bit like your earlier conversation, it's a trained dog. I know you can't train a dog to think like that. Like, but there is situations where there should be areas where there shouldn't be and to allow the likes of people like Vanessa or the
like, as you mentioned, like
people with different.
Vanessa has Hawaii and for that particular reason doesn't want a dog jumping up on her. But I mean, I don't think any of us either, Paul, really want someone else's dog jumping up on us. Obviously, the risk is far greater to Vanessa, and you know, I'm not taking away from that, don't get me wrong, but who wants someone else's dog jumping up on them for any reason whatsoever?
Yeah, especially some of the fashion now with everybody with their white clothes and that, they definitely don't want a dog jumping up. But no, people, there's a lot of people, the larger dog, people don't want dogs jumping up on them, you know, and it's the situation with the dog owner, they find it in, oh, well, why not, you know what I mean? The dog's only been friendly. And then there's that wee bit of animosity creeps in, like, yeah. But that's the situation. So we don't even put her in that position, or she doesn't want to be in that position, so she just refrains from going to walk in the park or whatever.
And
you know,
Paul, from a council perspective, I mean, what needs to be done here? Look, there are dog wardens here. It's not on them. They've an awful lot of responsibility stretched on a massive county from the Finn Valley to Burton Port, to the islands, actually, in fact, from Bundoran up to Malin, Malinhead. You know, this is coming up time and time again. The rules and regulations are there. What is absent is the enforcement. I mean, do we need to be doing more as a county for someone who doesn't properly control their dog, that they might actually fear that they could get a fine? Do you know what I mean? In terms of littering and dog fines, we're really the poor cousin in terms of enforcement here, I think.
Yeah, very much so we are the poor cousin, because the situation is, whenever, if you go to a dog warden, they're more concerned with the welfare of the animal as to the actual, the owner's lack of working with it, or lack of respect or lack of responsibility. So it's the owner that needs to get targeted, for a better word, and how you manage that or how you do that, because you're well aware of the amount of dog fouling and items like that is going on, and we can't seem to, we put up signs, there is responsible dog owners, but there is two or three that just has no regard to any rules.
And I think we've all a role in raising this issue, Paul, but I think responsible dog owners who make up the vast majority should be screaming the loudest, because it's their fellow irresponsible dog owners that are tarring everyone with the same brush. And we're trying not to do that on this programme, but invariably, you know, in people's minds, they might see all dog owners in the same light. That's clearly not the case. The overwhelming majority of dog owners are loving, very loving and very caring and very responsible, and I think they are the ones that maybe should be as angry as anyone at this small minority who are giving everyone a bad name.
Yeah, that's you're 100% right. That's the situation. Can you hear me there? Yeah.
Yep, indeed. But listen, we're heading to the news anyway, Paul. But thank you very much for your contribution. There's a bit of interference on the line, but we got your point there. That's Councillor Paul Canning. And it's just an insight how a family can be extra conscious of dogs of all sizes, but particular bigger dogs running in public on the likes of beaches and what have you, and the danger they can pose to people with the likes of people with OI like Vanessa. Okay, back with the news in a sec.